is Corey O'Flanagan.
And my name is Leanne Davidson.
And we are here quarantining. We realize it's been a couple of weeks since we brought you an episode.
Sorry, but due to
everything that's going on, we just took a little break. And yeah, definitely we're slacking.
Kind of hard when you're not traveling.
The motivation is slipping with each day of quarantine, but I think we're going to be in it for the long haul, so we're looking for days to self-motivate, and we thought that this would be a good way to start. So we want to talk to you guys about our time in Northern Vietnam. Wish we didn't have to cut it short, so we could have done one on the entirety of Vietnam, but here we are.
Yep, here we are indeed.
What do you got?
So, Vietnam borders China, Laos, and Cambodia, making it a very popular choice for travelers doing the whole Southeast Asia banana pancake trail. So it is very popular, and it does offer an awful lot for tourism, but it's still not quite as developed or as touristic as, say, Thailand. What are your thoughts?
Just in general, yeah. I mean, my first impressions of Vietnam were brought to me by people I met when I was in Thailand in 2002, and they were like, if you think Thailand is cheap, you should go to Vietnam. You can live like royalty for like $500 a month. And although that's probably doubled, I think that you can live really well for very little throughout Vietnam. And it is absolutely stunning. It is the north part especially. We were just mesmerized the whole time by the landscape especially. But the people, the food, everything was awesome.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say both of us were very impressed. Even though we had to cut a trip short by like 3 weeks. In those 2 weeks, we did get to see a lot of the north, didn't we? And It was really beautiful.
And there is a lot of talk about the people doing the motorcycle. This is like the only country where I've heard of this, as popular as it seems to be, where people go and fly in either Hanoi or Ho Chi Minh, buy a motorcycle and then drive all around the country for a month
and then sell it
and leave. And yeah. I literally haven't heard of this anywhere else.
Which is something that we really wanted to do, but we weren't quite sure about the mechanics of it. So we just ended up going for 2 weeks. We spent, 12 of those days in the north, and then we ended it in Hoi An. So yeah, so what we did, we landed in Hanoi, which is the capital, located in the north. And you may have heard of Ha Long Bay. That's probably one of the really big touristic attractions in Vietnam.
Yeah.
So that's not far at all, like from Ha Long Bay. I'm talking like an hour's drive, a couple hours drive. But yeah, so this northern region, so we landed in Hanoi, and this northern region, first impression, was pretty cold.
We were again not ready for the cold.
We're just not prepared. Like, who would have thought?
We're in the tropics, man.
I know, right? So, northern region, mountain, very similar to southern China. Obviously, it's on the border. Southern part of Vietnam, tropical. Good for you to know. So, Hanoi, let's start there.
I mean, we really just spent our time in the old town. It's just this unique little coffee culture is what I would call it. Walking around, seeing all these cool little indoor-outdoor coffee shops.
Which was so weird, because I've never seen that in Asia, where people would literally sit there all day just drinking coffee, just shooting the shit with their friends, watching people walk by.
And just the cutest little, like, foot and a half tall table and chairs and the tiniest little coffee cups.
Everything was small. Like, we remarked on it on our first day. We're like, oh, well, these chairs are really small. Like, everything. It's like one of those pictures where you get in one of those oversized furniture.
Oh, yeah.
Like the complete opposite of that. Yeah. So you feel like the giant instead.
Yeah. No, it was really just a matter of, I don't know, it was tons of shopping. Obviously, Vietnam, I think, is well known throughout the entire country. I think we'll probably touch on this later, of a place to go get really nice designer clothing made.
Indeed.
Or I wouldn't say custom.
Yeah.
And then, high quality stuff. And then, yeah, so we just spent our time walking around there. We got a really great hotel room with the bed that we needed. Hard to leave
the bed, in fact, after a few weeks of hard mattresses.
You get us that soft of a mattress and that little natural light coming into a room.
And so many pillows. Oh my gosh. But one thing you definitely should try if you do go to Hanoi or Vietnam in general is the egg coffee. It is delightful.
Well known for, it's kind of sweet, isn't it?
It's egg yolk, which makes it creamy, with the condensed milk, which is super sweet milk. And then what they do is basically 80% coffee, 80% foam, made with this mixture, and 20% coffee, really strong coffee. but it's just delicious. It's like a dessert. I don't actually like the coffee part. I just like the foamy part.
Yeah. I didn't know that there was even coffee. I was just like, oh, I guess egg coffee is just foam.
Yeah, but it's delicious.
And then a little surprise at the bottom.
Now I know what the baby chino thing is.
Yeah. I think one of the other things that we were pleasantly surprised by was, one, the price of bottles of wine came down substantially, which was fantastic.
We're talking like you can find a bottle of wine for $5.
Great. Easy, yeah, $4 or $5. And it's actually like imported from Chile, mostly, wasn't it? There was Chilean, there was Australian wines. We were pleasantly surprised. So you can expect to find that. And then Leanne mistakenly, but positively, ordered some shots of rice wine for us at dinner one night, which was fantastic.
I did. I thought it was a...
I thought she was going to get a nice little sweet, tasty treat.
Yeah, if anyone's had dessert wine or ice wine... When I saw the sign saying, like, apricot wine, I thought, oh, sick, I love dessert wine. I love it too much, actually. I drink it like regular wine. And, and it shows up, and it was just, like, strong rice wine. But it was tasty.
We left with a little wobble in our stomach.
We definitely did. And it's super cheap. So if you are on a bit of a budget in Vietnam, just drink that local rice wine. You get plum, apricot, apple. Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
And if you drink a whole one on your own, you're going to be on a really good pace.
It's true.
Possibly even too much.
Nah, not too much. There's a really cool thing there. So it's one of these Insta famous photo spots there in Hanoi. It's basically an old train track.
It's your normal train track that would cut through a city, but essentially they've just built the buildings around it much closer than they have anywhere else that you've ever seen. They're like 3 feet off of either side.
Yeah.
So 1 meter. And, it's just this really unique kind of, it makes for some really cool photos that we've seen on Instagram. Yeah. We ended up not getting one because we were...
It was a bit too organized.
Going back to our time in India, anytime somebody's trying to pressure us anymore, we're just like, no.
Meh. We're scared. So if anyone's ever trying to sell us something, you just got to back off and let us think about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we went, so basically...
Make an offer. Give us 6 months.
Give us 6 months we'll to think back. About it. And then we'll come back to you, all right? Need to weigh up the pros and the cons. But yeah, so basically it's like just too much organized fun. So you walk down the street and then it's cordoned off by these security guards, and you're only allowed in there if you're on a tour or if one of these kids that is coming up to you and is trying to get you to their coffee shop. So you have to go visit a business inside, which we were going to do, but then we didn't like the pressure we were getting put under. So we decided to walk away.
Absolutely.
With pictureless. So after a few days in Hanoi, just relaxing a little bit, we decided to take a bus up to a place called Sapa. So a little information about Sapa. It's got one of the highest peaks, or the highest peak in Vietnam, I should say. And there's just lots of trekking up in this mountainous region. Again, get the motorbike rentals or buy a bike, and there's just drive. Just cruise along, just go and see everything.
If you need a good itinerary, I just did a nice little blog post on the smallworlds.com website
that you can
do. It's a 10 or 12 day itinerary for you. And although we didn't do exact itinerary, we did something very close to it. So I thought that I would share it because we just couldn't get enough of the motorbikes up there, even though it wasn't ideal weather. It was chilly. Yeah,
it was so cloudy. Cold. Oh my God. But it was definitely still beautiful, a different kind of beauty.
Yeah.
So we organized it through the place that we were staying, actually, to take a tourist bus up to Sapa. It was around $20 to $25 for like a 6 hour drive. But oh my gosh, it was the luxury bus, and it actually was the best bus journey I've ever been on.
It's like first class in an airplane on a bus.
Like, it's like a full-size bus, but with only 15 seats. So it's like everyone gets their own single reclinable leather chair with power outlets.
Blanket. There's Wi-Fi on it that worked pretty decent.
It was impressive.
And overall, it was just a really... I just was like so impressed with that bus.
Yeah.
We have other bus experiences that we'll jump into, but that was a good start.
That definitely set the pedestal high, and then the next bus, not so much. So in Sapa, it's this lovely mountain city. And like I said, it's surrounded by mountains and hiking trails, but we unfortunately were there in the grey rainy season. So we had a couple of rainy grey days. It was kind of chilly and we didn't have the right gear to be in that situation. So we just kind of holed up and did some work and explored the town a little bit.
One of the main things that people do is when you're walking throughout Sapa, you'll get these tiny little cutest little Vietnamese country women.
When we say tiny, literally they're like 3 foot. They're adorable. Tiny. So sweet.
But they'll come running up to you and just want you to go to their little home village, often outside of Sapa with them, and you get to hike amongst their rice paddies. And I'm thinking that if it's much better weather, if it's not cold and rainy, nice. That would be a heck of an experience. And I'm thinking we probably would have done that because we had the time.
Yeah.
It just didn't seem that appealing due to the weather that we were having. So we passed. But I think that that's something that we'd recommend. And then obviously Sapa overlooks the highest peak in Vietnam,
which you can get the cable car up to also if you are not feeling very trekky.
You can trek it in a day, or you just do the cable car, which is a pretty cool feature that they have.
But Sapa has lots going on. There's plenty of places to stay, plenty of places to eat. Very European feel. I think that's probably because there's a French owner who owns about 5 different of the restaurants.
Yeah.
So after a few days in Sapa, we decided to head over to Hajiang. And why don't you tell us about our bus trip to Hajiang?
So what's meant to be just like a nice little 4 or 5 hour bus journey along the Vietnamese countryside quickly turned into a really negatively fueled by bad energy because of the driver and the workers on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened was about a third of the way on the trip, no one's really paying attention. People are dozing off, and all of a sudden the bus stops in the middle of the road. The 3 workers, including the driver, all hop out and just start beating the piss. And I mean, we have video.
And the shit.
They started just kicking this little, like, 14-year-old kid because apparently he was driving his motorbike and just, like, cutting them off and stuff like that. But regardless of what this kid was doing,
it did not
warrant 3 grown men stopping and just beating his ass.
And this little kid ran away, and they just chased after him. This went on for about 20 minutes, half an hour. It was disgusting. Some of the guys on the bus, like, calmed them down, and then they carried on trying to beat the shit. We have no idea what's going on at this point. We're like, hey, maybe that kid killed one of their brothers or something. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't know, because we're asking questions.
Trying to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Not one of them is giving us answers, is not smiling at us, is the rudest. It was awful. I've been on some bad trips. And
it's not often you see Rage Leanne.
Yeah, I was raging at Rage Leanne. I was literally, I think we were probably the oldest people on the bus.
She called him cunts.
I did. Because I was like, I know that's really offensive and I shouldn't be doing it, but I did it.
Not a good company.
And after a lot of more research into the company, I've been reading a lot of stuff like this with how the workers are really like intimidating towards tourists and they're really rude. So it's not like this was a singular thing. So it's called the Vietnam Bus Travel. That's the name of them. We'll put it in the show notes. So just avoid them if you can, just because we don't really condone that kind of behavior.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. It was sad, but hopefully they've dealt with the workers. But that left a nasty taste in our mouth. However, when we did arrive in Hajiang, we were greeted by the most lovely guy that I think we met in Vietnam.
Yeah.
Who was a worker, again, where we were staying in Hajiang.
Shout out to Leanne's friend Rain for giving us a great recommendation.
Yes, thank you very much, Rain. But yeah, so Mark, we'll leave in the show notes where we stayed and where we actually hired these motorbikes to do the Hajiang loop. But Mark, he's a legend who works there. So, the Hajiang Loop, it's famous, kind of. What is it, Corey?
It's becoming more famous, but yeah, essentially you have this really lovely part of northern Vietnam that shares a pretty lengthy border with China, and you have this road that just is, it's one big loop, or it's got all these little interior offshoots that you can go hit, and people do anywhere from like a 1, 2 to 4 or 5 day motorbike trips, and you can stay in tiny little villages, you can get in bigger towns, you cover a lot of ground. We ended up just doing it in 2 days because we were going to this other waterfall that we're going to talk about in a minute, but it was an 8-hour day of riding, and then probably another 7 or 8-hour day of riding that was just unbelievable scenic views and just endless. One of the reasons that it takes so long is because you keep stopping for photos.
Yeah, it was really stunning. It's something that, because we're obviously at the end of this trip and we're a bit exhausted, but neither of us have been to Vietnam, so we're like, oh sick, really looking forward to it, but don't really know what to expect. And that was something that I felt like really rejuvenated us.
Mm-hmm.
We was Owen Wilsoning, wowing the whole constantly. Time. Like, for two I mean, weeks.
I love the word porn that I have with this called the karst topography, guys. I mean, I just absolutely, I've been obsessed with that ever since I learned about it years ago.
It's my new favorite word.
Yeah. No. And it's just these huge limestone jettisons that just come out of the earth and just create these really abrupt features. But then you also have these rivers that are just winding through, and the roads are just not just like these straight long roads like you might have in other places. They're just nice and windy, and it's an unbelievable, it's so much fun to ride on a motorbike. And the nice thing is that they've made it more adaptable to tourists by doing two things. You have semi-automatic motorbikes, which make it easier to shift because you don't have to worry about the clutch. You just have to shift your gear. And then the second thing that they have is that if you're not comfortable at all on a motorbike, you have the option of finding a local or just someone that you hop on back. And you can just throw in headphones, throw on a Small Worlds podcast, just cruise and take a long ride while someone else is doing the driving. And people were raving about that too. So if you're in Vietnam, go to this spot. You absolutely will not regret this. It is fantastic motorbiking.
And remember, it's okay. You don't have to ride the bike. And even if, say, you're in a group and one person wants to do the tour, the other people don't, the option, you don't have to go with a rider in the tour groups. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they're the options. You can do it by yourself, which we recommend because it is cheaper. But obviously, you're going to want a bit more confidence in driving because you are going through mountains on a motorbike.
There is gravel.
There is gravel. but also if you are a bit worried about that, or say if you know one of your friends doesn't want to learn how to ride a bike, you can do a tour where you can ride and your friend can go on the back. Doesn't matter. There's really something for everyone. It's really cool.
And then you have the cool Hajiang itself is a pretty cool town, but it's more of just a hub for this at this point. There's not much to do or see there outside of that. So there's just some accommodations and endless places to rent motorbikes. But we actually had a pretty nice little restaurant there. That's one thing that we need to mention is the cook pots.
The hot pots.
Oh, it's so good.
Oh, guys, egg coffee and hot pots. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can get hot pots all over Asia. They're just super popular in Vietnam. And oh my gosh, we'd seen them in Thailand and I kept saying to Corey, like, oh, we need to have one of those. And he was never conveniently hungry enough.
It's a lot of food.
But in Vietnam, but it's really good food, depending on your broth. But in Vietnam, we were in Sapa, actually had the best one at this hotel. I'll try and find the name out and write it down in the show notes. It was so good. It was a salmon hot pot. Mm-hmm. Basically, you get your proteins, your salmon or your meat, and then you have all your veggies, and it's just the bubbling water in the middle, and you just pop it all in, all the flavors you want.
It's just like this great little stew of whatever protein you want, and then loads of veggies. It's super healthy and delicious, so that's definitely something that you should check out. But other than that, this area is pretty much just set up for this motorbike loop, and like we said, give yourself a minimum of two, probably 3 or 4 days to really maximize it.
And just another thing to note about riding the motorbikes, which we encountered, you're probably going to want to acquire your international driving license.
We keep running into this.
Honestly, I've been doing this for 5 years now, and every time this happens, I'm like, why do I still not have an international driving license? Because you can talk your way out of it most of the time.
Usually.
Or pay your way out of it for $10, $20.
This time we could not.
But this time, interestingly enough, it worked in Thailand. So I'll stop there. So at the beginning of the loop, there's these cops that will sit there and they try and catch tourists like us who shouldn't really be driving their motorbikes.
Technically.
And they don't want to get, you know, the lawfare. They just want to get some extra cash.
Yeah.
They don't care about the law.
They literally will just make up I'm doing quotes right now, a 3 or 4 day
international
driver's license that you can pay $50 for.
Yeah, which is a ridiculous amount to be paying off some cops
so
in Asia.
A little hack that worked for us, and this was our guy at our hostel that we were staying at that helped us with this, and we can't guarantee that the timing's going to be working and that this is going to work for everyone, but we didn't want to pay the extra $50 just because we're stubborn sometimes. In the end, we probably would have really regretted it. So we went back to the hotel, And then he was sitting out front. We told him what happened, and he was like, oh, just go back between 11 and 12. They'll be at lunch.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, anyway, so we drove off. The police hated us, but we got away with it, which is really happy. Thankfully. We're very relieved, and we got around there.
We don't necessarily recommend doing what we do, because we seem to take issue with authority like this. just because we know what's going into their pocket. Otherwise, we're very respectful. But if you plan to do this kind of thing, make sure you do it with like a hint of sarcasm and a little bit of a smile.
Read the situation. And don't read be aggressive.
Read the person that you're talking to. Because if they just like all of a sudden turn their head and give you a stern look, it's not going to work. But if you get the sense that they might be able to play the game a little bit.
Yeah.
A lot of times, like Leanne said, like for the most part, we've gotten out of it all the time just by being a little bit cheeky.
Making jokes.
That's us. It's not for everybody.
Yeah.
It's $50, but absolutely don't let that $50 deter you, because looking back on it would have been such a shame.
It would have been so worth it. That $50, I would have paid it. I would still pay it.
Literally, you go like an hour after that traffic stop and you would have forgotten about it because it's so beautiful.
Yeah.
So just have that in mind.
Yeah. And the town as well that you can stay at usually is like the main town that's like on the opposite end of the loop as Hajiang. It's so beautiful. It's like a little ski town without mm-hmm. the skiing, I guess. No,
it's a sight for welcome eyes, because at that point, depending on how many days you're taking, if you're doing it the way that we did it and just doing one day out, one day back, long times on the saddle, then you're just going to be absolutely so happy to see this little town. And
there's alcohol.
We caught a buzz.
We did. We got in. We had shots.
We got in. We got at it early.
Yeah.
And had a good time. It was nice. I mean, this is a really small, and this isn't even the smallest, but it's a small little Vietnamese town. And we were there during the off season. I mean, we had dinner and drinks and everything for both of us for like $15 total.
It was great.
And it was and we had like a shot heavy
of Jameson,
buzz.
Yeah, yeah. Jim Beam, whatever.
No, there was no limits. Top shelf, baby.
Top shelf. Premium. Okay, so we're talking a little bit about costs there. That's what you can expect to find on the trail. Again, this is like a local, all the stops are all local areas, so the food and the snacks that you can get are going to be super cheap. Not sure if you have wiggle room to be picky, because it's very limited choices. But yeah, it's very cheap. So cost of the bikes, do you remember how much those were, Corey?
Like $5-6 a day.
Yeah. So that's $6 US a day. If you've got two of you on there, it's $3, although we recommend getting your own bikes.
Yeah.
Just because it's a lot more fun to cruise around. Why don't you subscribe, rate, and review us?
Tell a friend.
You know the drill.
It'd be really cool if you did that, especially during these hard times. We know you're running out of stuff to do.
Just listen to us over
Go on
and
a
over
small world's
and
binge.
Again.
And then give us some feedback, because we know we can get better.
Yeah. How about that? All right, so we talked a little bit about the waterfall, what we went to go see after Hajiang. But this waterfall is one of the largest waterfalls in Asia. And it actually sits on the border of China and Vietnam. So we decided months and months ago that we wanted to see this waterfall in Vietnam, because we saw photos of it.
It's gorgeous.
Oh, it's so out the way. It's about 9 hours drive out the way.
Yeah.
But it's worth it. Every single hour spent on that drive is beautiful. And that waterfall is absolutely stunning. So going from Hajiang, we took a local bus to get there. Or you can have the option to ride a motorbike. If you look at Corey's suggested itinerary,
mm-hmm.
you can take your own bike there.
In retrospect, that's what we would have done.
Yeah, if we'd planned it out better, that's what we wanted to do.
If we'd have known, but that's why we're doing this and letting you guys know. Like, if you're comfortable on a motorbike and you want to do the loop and you want to do this waterfall, I think it's best just to rent a motorbike for like a week and just knock them all out. And it would be just absolutely lovely.
You could have done Sapa to here.
Yeah, which is what I cover in there. But
might as well get beaten up on the way.
You know, the best thing about Leanne is that she always reads my blogs.
Is that a tumbleweed? Some birds chirping. Hey, I share them. But yeah, to get there, so you've got the motorbike, you can get the local bus from Hajiang. It's a bit cheaper. It also has a lot more stops and gets a bit cozy with everybody.
It's
all
cozy.
Crammed in. Or if you are fancy, you can choose to take a tourist bus from Hanoi, which will have slightly more room.
Yeah, you would take a bus down from Hajiang to Hanoi, switch buses there, and then head back up, which kind of goes out of the way.
Yeah, so but it all depends on where you're coming from.
That's 100% true.
Yeah, so tell us about our drive there, because, you know,
I mean, we had a really great time. We had just from the town, which was Cao Bang, we went to... That's where you stay, and then from there it's about a 2-hour drive to the waterfall. But there's so many other things to see. So there was another waterfall that we tried to go see, but we couldn't find, and we got a little bit scared off because it was somebody's private property. Pretty sure that there was a cow giving birth
or getting killed. We're not sure.
Something was going on. There was a lot of weird noises echoing throughout the valley that we weren't sure of. So we followed our Google Maps to a point where we thought we were supposed to be, but it wasn't it. So we didn't get to see the second waterfall. But anyway, we got to see some amazingly beautiful countryside and some of the way that the really, like, country farming locals live, which was really cool. But yeah, so we spent about 4 hours on the way getting there, and then you get to the waterfall. And I mean, for being the fourth largest, and this is fact, fourth largest waterfall.
He actually does fact check, I don't.
That is also a land border between countries. It is just simply stunning. And the unbelievable thing is, because the only thing that I can compare that to, the Iguazu Falls. And if you've been to Iguazu Falls, you know it's unbelievable. It's just so great for your eyes. This is in South America. But it's jam-packed with people. Just tons of people all over the place. There was fucking nobody here.
Yeah, that is something.
It was like a really podunk, like, state fair type thing, like a county fair in the States, where it was like dirt, like, parking lots, and like we were just like, this is crazy.
So we were there in off season again, but this is because it's so far out the way. It's called Ban Thiak Waterfall. I did write it down somewhere. Because it is so far out the way, there's actually this weird statistic where there doesn't seem to be a lot of international tourists. It's a lot of domestic tourists and a lot of Chinese tourists. But aside from that, not a lot of people actually visit this place. But yeah, so we were there during this whole issue with coronavirus, and where there's not a lot of people. What, the borders to China were closed at this point when we were there. Also, it's off season. So I think either we're very lucky with the fact that it wasn't busy, because I'm sure there's a lot of Chinese tourists that come here.
Yeah, the other side normally, I've seen photos where the other side is packed with people.
But yeah, it's absolutely stunning. So you get through this touristic stally place, and then you've got one waterfall to the right, you've got another straight ahead. It's just stunning. It's like rainforest. It's really, really beautiful.
I know I don't think it was allowed necessarily, but I did get the drone up and got some really great footage that you will see on our video. But honestly, so worth it, because you get to see that this is like a three-tier waterfall with these beautiful, like, turquoise pools.
Just goes
on. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And then in the background of all that is all the karst topography.
Nice.
And it's just lush green. And I mean, you just have this color contrast. It was just, if we would have had a little bit sunnier of a day, and this was like one of our better days because it finally warmed up.
Yeah.
Got to be roughly about, I'd say, 20 Celsius. This is like low 70s in Fahrenheit. And it just got to be more comfortable. And then, yeah, the other thing to do is there's this great cave system there that you can go to. We didn't have time because we misjudged how long it was going to take us. And so we just had to chase the sunset west, which was a lovely drive back home.
Yeah. So I highly recommend, if you can, spend a couple of days in that area. And when you do decide to leave this area, you can take a bus down from the area to Halong Bay again, which is what we did. So because we were meeting my friend Hannah, so we kind of like circled round from Hanoi, went and did the top, came back down to Halong Bay. We were there in off season. The weather wasn't great. It was misty and cloudy, so we didn't actually go on a boat and go and explore Halong Bay.
Such a shame, guys. Like,
such
this is
a shame.
Look it up. Look at these photos of this place. It is just unbelievably beautiful, but the weather did not permit us to go and enjoy and like take a boat trip out there.
Yeah, which is a bummer, but we were very lucky with the fact that it was off season. It was so quiet everywhere. We didn't have to wait for people on their motorbikes anywhere in the north. So it comes with its pros and cons, but do just bear that in mind if you're thinking of going and doing this in Vietnam. Just do check out the seasons and just see which one is most suited for you.
I don't know if February or like early March is the right time to be in that area, depending on what you're looking for.
Yeah.
But yeah, so from there we met up with Hannah. You know Hannah from our podcast that we had about the Australian work visa.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're teamed back up with Leanne's little sidekick.
Yes, we are.
And where'd we go from there?
We went to Nimbin. We just took an easy tourist bus. Again, it was like $20 or something, $15 I think actually. It was 5 hours, super comfortable. We had power, just chilled out for a little bit, did some damage on a series. And yeah, we went and stayed in Nimbin. So Nimbin is just south of Hanoi, and it's again just beautiful, lush countryside. Lots of that karst photography. And
almost.
Karst
topography.
Topography. What did I say?
Karst photography.
Something beginning with a K and something that sounds like photography. But yes, you're surrounded by all this farmland on the outside, and then you have the little town on the inside. So you can choose to stay in the town where there's like a strip full of restaurants and bars and, you know, the usual things that tourists like to do.
Good restaurants.
Good. Yeah, they were really nice food, mm-hmm. actually. It's very Western. But we, at this point, we're kind of happy to see some Western food because we went so long without. But you can also choose to stay at one of the many eco-lodges that are dotted outside of the town and closer to the nature, which is what we did. Tell us more. What did we do in Nimbin?
Again, we immediately got dropped off by the bus and picked up some motorbikes.
Mm-hmm.
And because this is, we just love to have that freedom of being able to go on our own schedule.
There's a common theme running through all of our episodes. That's what we like. We like the freedom.
And we're cheap. We absolutely had read about, there's two different places that you can go to where you have this unique experience of hopping on these rowboats in these just cutest little native Vietnamese women row you around. You feel so bad because they're old and they're just rowing boats full of people for hours.
We help.
They have paddles in there, so if you can help your guide, do it.
We did start a trend because many people, like, they'd see us paddling, they're like, oh, well, now we feel bad. And they'd
by
stop
the end,
paddling.
We were racing. Really, it was great.
We were racing. Yeah, that was funny.
But you just spend like 2 or 3 hours, and now you're seeing all the karst topography, but you're in a boat and you're rowing, so you're getting off of the beaten track, and you're going through these. We went through a cave that was probably like 2 kilometers long.
Yeah.
And they've run electrical through it, so you've got lights and everything like that. But now you're just going through these caves. You come out the other side. It's just unbelievable views. And then there's all these cool temples strewn about that you stop off at. And I got to tell you, it was just so relaxing.
Yeah.
It was just such a nice experience.
Yeah. We weren't expecting the temples to be there, so we weren't dressed appropriately, so we couldn't actually go in any of them. We didn't want to offend anyone, but it was really beautiful, really cool. So we got to obviously sit outside, give the rower a rest. But I do have to shout out at how skilled this lady's rowing is. Have you ever tried to row a canoe full of people at high speed turns? Sharp turns through a cave. There's all of the, is it stagmites or staglatites?
All of them.
All of the stags. like coming down from the rock, and you know, you've got to kind of watch your head, and like did have to like go flat on the boat a couple times, but this lady, she's going through it. It's amazing.
Her control was just unbelievable.
It's insane.
And I gotta say, the cutest thing is that she's warning us and we've got a duck. She didn't have to duck.
She's so little, she didn't have to duck. So cute.
It really is.
So a tip for that is definitely mind your head, but also to cover up the shoulders and the knees, or bring something to cover up the shoulders and the knees. We finally got some sunshine, so we would like, yes, shirts.
And go with a group of 4 if you can, because they won't. We got lucky, they ended up just going with the 3 of us, I think, again, because of the off season. But usually if you're just a group of 2, you're going to buy your ticket, and then you're going to have to wait for the boat to fill up. So another couple or 2 other people from somewhere are going to have to come in. So if you can get a group of 4, do it.
Yeah. So, after Nimbin.
A couple days there.
There's the park. There was this really cool park that we checked out, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how to. We're going to have to look up more the names and stuff. I don't even know how we found it.
No, that was the second place that you can go and do
the
rowing.
Second place. That's all right.
Yeah.
My apologies, guys. I'm on my first coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool. That was really beautiful. Again, it was one of those, like, oh, I wish it was sunny. But yeah, the park was gorgeous. It's big eco park with lakes and all the karst and more caves. It was International Women's Day, and they gave us a free smoothie. It was nice. Well, they gave me and Hannah a free smoothie.
Nimbin is pretty cool town. I mean, like we said, I think it kind of, it looks like it might turn into a little bit of a party when it's a little bit busier. So you can stay in town or go out to one of these eco lodges like we mentioned. And then it's kind of just like this kickoff point. If you're started in the south and are heading north, it's about an hour south of Hanoi, I think. But then from there, you can also go north to south and make your way down. And usually people take an overnight bus like we did to Hoi An. And this was another great bus experience.
Oh my God, I forgot about that bus.
So they have these overnight buses that you have two levels of seating, and you have a seat that just kind of like, it's like a recliner that is in almost full back position. So you get a pretty good layout. But if you're someone like Leanne who has to sleep on her stomach, or mostly sleeps on her stomach, you're going to struggle with it and you might not get a great night's sleep. Yeah. So you can, the pro tip here though, is that if you are a threesome.
Oh my God, you have it made.
There is a literal bed.
In the back.
In the back. That three people fit on. It's three seats that are like full. In South America, they call them full cama, which means just like full,
okay, full
horizontal.
Recline.
And yeah, so we were like, we'd heard about these and we'd seen a photo.
Yeah, we got some recommendations.
We got some recommendations, but we weren't the first ones on the bus. So we were a little bit nervous, but that beauty was there. And the thing is, I don't think you have many threes traveling around.
It's usually
like bigger groups
or
twos or individuals. So... I don't think it's an ideal spot for a lot of people, because if you're a single person, you're like, well, I'm not going
to
go there.
Like, be next
who
to
the hell is
going to
sit
next?
Who am I going to sleep next to?
Exactly.
But we had like three blankets, three pillows.
We had loads of space for all of our stuff.
Unbelievable.
It was great. So comfortable.
One downfall is that that bed happens to be right next to the bathroom, so there's a little commotion.
Yeah.
But honestly, we didn't have any stank.
Not
a big deal with that.
No, that was cool. And yeah, so we took that bus to Hoi An. Which, if you love to shop like me, or if you just love clothes, you're in heaven.
Hoi An is made for the Leannes of this world.
If you can't actually afford to have custom clothes, if you're weirdly proportioned like myself, and clothes can look a bit weird on you, you go to Hoi An and they will custom make it and design it for your out-of-proportion body. It's amazing.
Yeah. Guys, suits. I had a suit made. Two of my friends had suits made. I got them... for the most part, they just had to send me their measurements and the ladies cut them. For when you're there in person, like I was, you go in and get measured. They stitch it up. You come in the next day, do a second one. Your girlfriend says it needs to be tighter and then you and skinnier. And then you go back in the next day and you realize that you're going to be very, very tight.
Be fashionable.
But I will be fashionable and I'll be able to get away in all the European streets.
Exactly. You can shed away that negative connotations of Americans wearing suits too baggy. And you can wear it at Christmas this year.
Absolutely.
And my family will be very impressed.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Hoi An itself, like we said, it's this really cool town and it just seems to be made for tailors. Everyone's making something from shoes to bags to clothes to suits, anything you want can be made there. So the town itself is like I would say the town centre is quite small. It's probably only got like four or five main streets, all decked out with markets and tailors, etc., etc. And it's got a very European feel, hasn't it?
I think so.
Very, very European. And I believe I read somewhere that that was due to French settlers back in the day. But you know what?
Gotta believe you.
I believe it, so maybe you should believe
it.
but yeah, so like we said, you go in and you get your suits made. One thing that we enjoyed was that they give you free beer and free water.
We had decided at this point to cut our trip short.
Yeah.
So our 4 or 5 days, I think we actually ended up having 6 days in this part. And
We stayed at
one place for 3 nights and another place for 3 nights. I got some upgraded accommodation for Leanne's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
And something a little bit closer, because one of the things that we haven't mentioned is that this is also a really great beach town.
Yeah.
So you have this really beautiful beach. It wasn't ideal weather for us, but we still got to swim. It was warm. The ocean water was a little bit cooler, but I think majority of the time of year that it's not, and it's pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
But yeah, really nice, beautiful beaches. I know that there's islands off of the coast that you can go to make day trips or stay a couple nights if you want to.
Yeah, it's a nice beach, but it's not like white sands and tropical waters, but it's very pleasant. All the people with the businesses down there were really nice.
Bit of a party atmosphere.
There is. Not, I wouldn't say an a Western tourist party atmosphere. I would definitely
not like
say,
Koh Phangan.
No. I felt like it was a lot more domestic tourists again, or maybe Asian tourists.
Yeah.
But there was definitely some weddings going on when we were there, and people were really nice, and it was really cool.
Some really good food and good shopping, and some time to work on that base tan a little bit more.
Yeah. So Hoi An, you spend your days just outside the city on the beach. Go in. Get some free beer whilst you get tailored for your suit or your dress or whatever. Go back to the beach. Yeah, that's pretty much what we did for 6 days.
That was our time. And unfortunately, we were supposed to have another couple of weeks to be able to work our way down to the south and then cross over into Cambodia, where we're going to have another week before we came home. But due to everything that's going on, we saw it best to try and get home earlier than later, and thank goodness that we did.
Yeah, that was all thanks to, I do have to give you a big appreciation here, because throughout all of this, I've been very blasé. They're like, oh, you know how it is, like, I'm sure I'll be fine, everything always works itself out, you know? And I also felt awful because I'd got Hannah to come and fly and meet us from Australia, and I hadn't seen her in, I don't know, nearly a year. And then we were like going to be like, oh, well, you've just flown here, but now we're going to go. So I felt awful because of that anyway. But Corey's gut was just like, no, this is going to be bigger than I think. Just reading the news like he does, like the grown-up he is.
I just couldn't risk it. And I had to get home for some stuff, and I just couldn't risk it. So we decided to get home. But we are actually going to try and, we've got some interviews with some people lined up for this week that also had some interesting travel experiences throughout this coronavirus situation. We had a, not that unique, because I think we were a little bit ahead of it, but
like
just some
days.
Things. I did another, there's another blog article on the website about this, about our experience coming back, just because we had a couple of surprises in that manner as well. So just something that we want to try and put out there to you guys, because we do think that there are some people that are stuck out there, and if we have an opportunity to talk to them and bring you guys their story, we'd love to do that. So this was our time in Vietnam. Is there anything else we need?
No, just going to let everyone know that we're both healthy, still a bit quarantine crazy, but that's okay, like everyone else in the world, but just very grateful that we're here, and hopefully you guys will tune in to find out about all the corona madness with other travelers.
Yeah, absolutely. Why don't you guys have a good one? Go to the website, smallworldspodcast.com, and you can get caught up on any blog articles, and assuming that we release this on what'll be tomorrow... Yeah. We're going to do our Vietnam video with that as well. So go and check that out. And if you haven't, check out our India video. And thank you for listening.
Thank you, everybody. Goodbye. Stay safe.